In your Bibles tonight, Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20, and I've enjoyed our time in the book of Revelation, and I'm excited about the fact that Jesus is coming again, and I'm thankful for the promise of eternity and eternal life, and promise of the complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you turn to the book of Revelation, some people want to call it the Revelations. It's kind of like if you say Walmart, you're wrong. It's just Walmart. Revelation is, there's one revelation, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to reveal Himself. And the word revelation and the word apocalypse are the same words. People like to say the word apocalypse, and it's almost like you say apocalypse, and you say apocalypse, it's like, it's kind of spooky. But really the word apocalypse just literally means the revealing of. And when you read the book of Revelation, we're going to see the revealing of the finished work of Jesus. And I'm excited about it. He's got a perfect plan. And He gives us insight into the itinerary and the plan of the end times in the book of Revelation. And how many of you have ever gone on a trip and you had an itinerary? You've seen the itinerary. Maybe you've seen an itinerary and you didn't really know the itinerary very well, but the itinerary was exactly what happened, and it turned out to be pretty good after all. Sometimes we look at the book of Revelation and we're looking at an itinerary and a plan that God has, and we may not completely understand every detail of the itinerary, nor is it possible for us to understand every detail of the itinerary, because there are so many things in heaven that we just have no way to relate to them. But I want you to understand something. The itinerary and the plan of God for eternity and for His children is awesome. And we can rest in God's goodness and know that God has a plan that's perfect for us, His children. I'm thankful for it. And we're resting in that and trusting Him. And the book of Revelation, God intends to encourage His people and encourage the church. He also has written and provided the book of Revelation to encourage the people that are saved during the tribulation. And that's something interesting and fun to think about. But God has a plan. And I want to preach this message, and the title is this: The Tribulation Ends and the Millennium Begins. The Tribulation Ends and the Millennium Begins. And we read about this in Revelation chapter 20. We'll look at the first six verses tonight. The Bible says in verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The tribulation ends and the millennium begins. When we come to Revelation 20, I kind of like to kind of put these things in context. And the best I know how, I want to share with you this passage of Scripture. When you come to Revelation 20, and just some things to remember, the rapture has taken place before the tribulation began. The church, the saved, those that are alive and remain at the coming, the rapture of the church, have met the Lord in the air, and the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to know that as a Christian, someone that's put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, born again, I'm born again. When Jesus comes again, I'm not appointed to wrath. I'll spend the rest of eternity in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We got some exciting things that are going to happen. We talked about them last week. How we're going to be present for the battle of Armageddon. I won't be fighting. I'll just be looking pretty on a white horse. Hallelujah. There's some exciting things and events that will take place in glory and heaven as God prepared it for His people. We sit and think about eternity and what it might look like. And even have questions sometimes. But one of the big questions about heaven and eternity is that the Bible talks about there's not going to be marriage or giving in marriage. And that bothers people. It bothers me. I really like my wife. And the Bible does say that we'll be known as we're known. And I'm just going to tell you something. If you like being married, and I do, whatever God's got figured out and planned for us in eternity is better than that. And you rejoice in the fact that God knows better than you do. And God's got a beautiful plan. But we've come and the church has been raptured, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then the tribulation begins. And 7 years, the tribulation is brutal. And there's great trouble. During the tribulation, there's going to be a host and multitude of people who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be great evangelistic movements. But the beast, the Antichrist, and the world will turn against the Christians. Anybody that's put their trust in Jesus, folks who've refused to take the mark of the beast. And during the great tribulation, there'll be many martyrs, Christians martyred. Many are saved during the tribulation. Many are martyred. Many people die during the tribulation lost. You think about the battle of Armageddon and the blood the Bible talks about coming to the horses' bridles. And you think about the many lost that died during the tribulation. And we're going to see something about them here in a minute. Many lost died during the tribulation. Many people will actually survive the tribulation. Now, that's something to think about. I've not thought about it very much. But there's going to be a host of people who survive the tribulation and actually continue into the millennium and the millennial reign of Christ. It's fascinating to see. There's coming a time in our text, we read it, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit more. But the Bible says that Satan will be loose for a time. And so we have the rapture. It's already taken place. The church is with the Lord. The tribulation is coming to a swift conclusion. It's going to end in our text tonight. Many have been saved, put their trust in Christ, and martyred in the tribulation. Many have died lost during the tribulation. Many survived the tribulation. With those things in mind, let's consider number one. The binding of Satan begins the millennium. The binding of Satan begins the millennium. Let's look at verse number one. And we're going to see the first step of the final destination and judgment of Satan. How many of you are aware that Satan is causing a lot of trouble and grief around you? If that's you, would you say amen? He's awful. The Bible says in verse number one, this is encouraging to me, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Let me just tell you something. Satan is a defeated foe. And the Bible says that an angel is going to bind him for 1,000 years. I want to talk about that for just a moment. I'm encouraged by verse number one. Number one is this, because I saw an angel. Who is it that binds Satan and casts him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years? An angel. Do you know why that's encouraging to me? It's encouraging to me that just some nameless random angel under the authority and power of God Almighty has the power to bind Satan and cast him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, for 1,000 years. I'm so thankful to know that Satan is a defeated foe. He's caused lots of trouble and wreaked a lot of havoc. Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. And a nameless angel binds him and sends him to the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Another thing in verse 1 that encourages me is the Bible says that an angel comes down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. I'm just country enough that I really like chains. I have a great chain collection. I really do. I've got chains everywhere. I got great big ones and I got little ones. I just like chains. But I want to tell you something. I ain't never had a chain like this. And I don't know what kind of chain God's come up with, but it's one of them heavenly chains. And He's got a plan. He's perfect. And the chain that God's going to use to bind Satan, I'm excited. Maybe I'll get a little, take a little look at it. And God's going to bind him. This chain, this great chain in his hand. The Bible says that this angel, this nameless angel, lays hold on the dragon. Here's some names for Satan. The dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, in this passage of Scripture, this time frame of 1,000 years is something we need to pay close attention to. It's mentioned over and over and over again. I will tell you this. There are some people who want to believe that this 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ is something that's like a figurative statement. I do not believe that. I believe in the literal 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some folks, though, just so you know, they say it's a picture of perfection. 10 times 10 times 10 is 1,000. You got 3 tens and it's some form of perfection. I really think that you can understand this without having to come up with some type of numerology key. And I just believe that for 1,000 years, Satan is bound because the Lord Jesus is going to do something for 1,000 years that is going to prove how wonderful He is and how bad sin is. For 1,000 years, God's people will reign with Christ. Satan is bound. He's bound and he's going to be bound for 1,000 years. The Bible says in verse 3 that he is cast into the bottomless pit. He's cast into the bottomless pit. Now, an interesting thing to think about here as we look at the bottomless pit. He's cast into the bottomless pit. This is some other places and times referred to as the abyss. As the abyss. It's kind of interesting because in our preaching in the last couple of weeks, this has come up. This past Sunday morning, I preached on the legion, the demons, the Gadarean demoniac, and the demons that were possessing him. They called themselves legion. It was a great group of demons, and they actually petitioned Jesus to not cast them into the deep. You remember that? They said, don't cast us into the deep. And the first thought I have when I read that is the deep blue sea. But really, these demons, they are aware of this same place that Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. It's not hell. It's the bottomless pit. I don't know much more about it, but it is the abyss, the bottomless pit. And the demons, legion, that were in this man of Gadara, they said, don't cast us into the deep, cast us into the swine. Cast us into the swine, and Jesus answered their petition and cast them into the swine. And the swine went off what I imagine to be some type of a cliff, and they were choked in the sea. Someone told me after church on Sunday morning, they said, did you ever hear that the joke about that? They said Jesus cast those demons into the swine. They ran off that steep cliff and into the water, and they committed suicide. And that's like dad joke ultimate there. But legion, he didn't want to be this group of demons. They didn't want to be cast into the deep. And here Satan is cast into the deep. He's cast into the abyss. He's cast into the bottomless pit. And the Bible says that he's cast in the pit for 1,000 years. He's shut up, and the Bible says in verse 3, there's set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. I circled in my Bible the word deceive. Folks, we need to pay attention and we need to be aware of the number one tactic of Satan is deception. It's deception. Satan wants to deceive people. Satan wants to deceive you. Satan wants to deceive you into what is happiness and what makes happiness. Satan wants to deceive you into believing that the things that feel right are right as opposed to the things that are written in God's Word are right. Satan wants to deceive us into believing that God didn't create the earth. Satan wants to deceive us into believing, like he did Adam and Eve in the garden, that Satan wants us to deceive us into believing that God has set out to make our lives miserable. God has set out to hurt us. God has set out to treat us unjustly. But I'll have you know something. Satan is just that. He's a deceiver. Satan is deceiving the world. It's a sad thing to look and be around folks who are so greatly deceived about things that are so simple and plain in God's Word. And I'm reminded that Satan is a deceiver. Have you ever talked to somebody that is deceived by Satan? They're deceived. They believe things that are so counter and contrary to God's Word, but they believe them from the depths of their soul. I want you to know something. That's the work of Satan. Deception. It's the work of Satan. One thing to remember when we're dealing with folks who are thoroughly deceived. How can we get victory? How can we help people who are thoroughly deceived by Satan? We just throw up our hands and give up? No. We need to remember something. When we're dealing with folks that are deceived by the devil, it is a spiritual battle. It's not a battle that's going to be won with the argument of wits. It's not something that you can fight out of somebody. It's not something you can argue out of somebody. It's not something that you really have the power to do anything about on your own. We need to remember when we're dealing with people who are deceived by Satan, it's a spiritual battle, and what they need is Christ. What they need is the gospel. What God's people need to be doing is that we need to be giving God's Word and praying and trusting God and believing God and committing these folks to the care of Jesus. I know that we want to do something mechanical, physical, to make a change in people's lives. But I'll have you know something. The thing that has to happen to overcome the deception of Satan is the power of God, the moving of God, the emphasis of God's Word that is powerful. Deceived people need Jesus. And God's people need to remember that our greatest weapon against the wiles of the devil is the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, the Word of God, power through prayer. God's people need to lean on Jesus. Deceived. The Bible says that for 1,000 years, Satan will be bound and he will not be able to deceive anymore. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of exciting. Can you imagine a society where Jesus is king and Satan has no power? That's what God is preparing for the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The binding of Satan for 1,000 years begins the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. The Bible says that in verse number 3, the last phrase, and after that, after he's been bound and can't deceive anymore, for 1,000 years, he'll be bound. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. There's more details about that in this chapter even. But come after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan will be loosed, he'll be defeated, and he'll be cast into hell forever. He's defeated. And I'm thankful. The binding of Satan begins the millennium. Number 2, we'll look at the millennial reign of Christ. Here's what the Bible says in verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, and in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So here's what John says. John says, here's what I'm seeing. Now, you got to remember the context of this passage of Scripture. John, God is showing John things that are to come. And John is recording for us, inspired by the Lord, the things that he's seeing. He's telling us about what he's seeing. Here's what I see. He says, I saw thrones. Who has thrones? Kings and rulers. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Unto who? And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. John says, I just saw in my vision that same massive group of people who during the tribulation period had given their heart, given their lives for Christ, had refused to take the mark, they refused to bow to the beast. They'd been martyred. He said, I saw those folks. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded, executed for the witness of Jesus. He says, I saw them. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. What does he say? I saw those folks. I saw them. I saw them on thrones. I saw them for 1,000 years of years. I saw them. And God rewarded them. Something I love to think about as I'm reading and studying the book of Revelation. There's a lot of the book of Revelation that may be a bit foreign to us because the truth is we're nowhere close. Well, I shouldn't say that. We're not experiencing the tribulation. The tribulation could begin just about any time. The Lord could come any moment. It could happen in a moment. But we're not experiencing the tribulation period. And what I like to think about as I'm reading the book of Revelation, there's coming a day during the tribulation that saints of God, God's people, saved folks in the tribulation period are going to be reading God's Word. I want you to know something. There's going to be a hunger for the book of Revelation during the tribulation period like no other time in history. And it's going to be clearer than ever before because when Christian people during the tribulation are reading Revelation chapter number 20 and they read this promise from God's Word that those folks who have been beheaded for the witness of Jesus will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. I want you to know something. There's going to be great encouragement from the Word of God. There's going to be folks read this who lost a son or a daughter who stood for Jesus. There's going to be folks who read this who lost a mother or father who stood in faith against the beast. And they're going to read this in hope, knowing that Jesus is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. They're going to read passage of Scripture that says this, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. They're going to read God's Word and they're going to be able to anchor themselves in the midst of the greatest storm that Satan has ever dreamed of. And they're going to rest and be encouraged and know that the millennial reign of Christ is just around the corner. You know what else? God's people today, right now, we can rest and be encouraged to know that Jesus has a plan. Jesus has a purpose. Jesus is going to rule and reign forever. And we'll have the opportunity to live with Jesus for 1,000 years of years on earth. The 1,000-year reign. The millennial reign. Let's look at verse number 4. So the first thing I think about when I read verse number 4 is I'm like, this is wonderful, but it looks to me like it's exclusively the tribulation saints that will be ruling and reigning and living with Christ 1,000 years. But here's the rest of the story. Let's keep reading. Verse number 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So, first of all, you have this group of people who are resurrected from the dead. They've been beheaded. Just so you know, if you're beheaded, you're dead. The martyrs have raised from the dead. They've raised from the dead. They're going to begin to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Satan can no longer can't deceive at all for those 1,000 years. And the dead in Christ at this moment, not the dead in Christ in the rapture, but those who died as martyrs, they're going to rise from the dead. They're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But there's another group of people that we've got to remember. There's a group of people that have died during the tribulation period. What happens to them? The ones that have died without Christ. The Bible says in verse 5, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. They'll lay in the graves until the 1,000 years are finished. And the Bible says this is the first resurrection. What's the first resurrection? The first resurrection is when the dead, the tribulation, rise. First resurrection. I'm actually convinced that the rapture is a part of the first resurrection too. The dead in Christ shall rise. I don't think it's one single event. I think it's the rising of the dead. There's going to come on this particular time, at this particular time, the resurrection of the dead in Christ. And the dead in Christ, after the tribulation, they're going to rise. You and I, the church, are going to rise if we don't meet Him alive. The Bible says this is the first resurrection. Then it says this in verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. How many of you ever heard anybody say this? Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. I like that. If you're born once, flesh and blood, after course of Adam, our father, initiated sin, and we're all sinners. If you're born once and you're a sinner and your sin separates you from God, if you're born once a sinner, you'll die a bodily death and die spiritual death. If you're born twice, born of flesh and blood, born of woman, then born again by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I have you know something. You may die once. You know, there's a chance that folks that are in this room will never have to experience death at all. Because the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I'll be part of the first resurrection. And I will never experience the second death. And I'll tell you, it's not because I'm religious. It's not because I'm faithful. It's not because I'm good. It's because I've put my trust in Christ Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my hope. The Bible says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, folks, I want you to know something. I believe that the Lord makes specific mention of the tribulation saints and the first resurrection. It's a way and a means by which to encourage them and to encourage us. But I'm also convinced that you and I, folks that are saved, are also part of this first resurrection. And we'll be with the Lord, rule and reign for 1,000 years. The 1,000-year reign of Christ is something exciting to think about. It's something that's preached on very little. The Bible teaches that for 1,000 years, God's people have the opportunity to live on earth the way God intended for earth to be lived on. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. The government is ruled by Christ. Things go His way. It's going to be exciting. There's so many details you could talk about, so many things that you can speculate. But I'm confident that any person that's put their trust in Christ will spend 1,000 years on earth with Jesus in His society. It's 1,000 years of receiving reward for the deeds done in the flesh. It's 1,000 years of serving Jesus and worshiping Christ. It's 1,000 years things that are very important. A few things that I uncovered in my study that may encourage you and help you about the millennium. We should take this 1,000 years literally, because God has an important work to accomplish during the millennium. The millennium is important because it will demonstrate Jesus' victory and worthiness to rule the nations. The millennium is important because it will reveal the depths of man's rebellious nature in a perfect environment. I want you to know that when Jesus sets up His kingdom for 1,000 years, we're going to see just how bad it is and just how sweet Christ is for 1,000 years. Here's some interesting things to consider about the millennium. During the millennium, Israel will be the superpower of the world, the leading nation in all the earth. And the center of Israel will be the mountain of the Lord's house, the Temple Mount, which will be the capital of the government of the Messiah. During the millennium, the citizens of earth will acknowledge and submit to the lordship of Jesus. It will be a time of perfectly administrated, enforced righteousness on this earth. Can you imagine? For 1,000 years, we're going to get to live as citizens on earth, submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ. I'll just have you know something. It'll be sweet. During the millennium, there will be no more war. During the millennium, the ways animals relate to each other and to humans will be transformed. You remember in the Scripture where the Bible says there's coming a time when the lion will lay down with the lamb? It'll be neat. It'll be awesome. I don't know what God has in store. I don't know exactly how that could look, but we'll experience it. During the millennium, King David will have a prominent place in the millennial earth. Now, that's something fun for me to think about. I love to study the life of David. There's coming a time where, if you're saved tonight, you'll have the opportunity to be part of the kingdom of Christ, and David will play a vital role. I'm fascinated to be there. During the millennium, there will be a blessing and security for national Israel. During the millennium, there'll be a time of purity and devotion to God. During the millennium, there'll be a rebuilt temple and restored temple service. During the millennium, saints in their resurrected state will be given responsibility in the millennial earth according to their faithful service. The millennium. I'm excited to see what God has in store. I'll just tell you, I can't wrap my brain around all that's going to take place during the millennial reign of Christ. But I know that God has promised it. Tribulation ends when Satan is bound. And when Satan is bound, his ability to deceive and possess and harm the earth and God's people is over. And you and I will have the opportunity to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. It'll be an exciting time to see what God has in store for His people. That's the tribulation, the millennial reign. And God has promised it. The Bible says, "They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. God has a great plan. We're excited to see just what He has in store for us.